Mobile.
Ken, KM4 NAP.
Renee, how you doing this morning?
Too bad, I reckon. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I see Patrick popped on the 147-285. Can you make that one?
Programmed in this one. I'll have to get everything on it and set it up.
Owner or anything. But it's, I think it's the opposite of this one. It's like a plus six or a minus six or something like that.
Okay, I'll try and get it set up sometime today. What was that frequency again?
7285.
Get it in here in the sometime today.
You can reach it or not. It's right there at the North Carolina line on I-26.
The one he uses when he's coming down the mountain, is it?
The black hole, he's usually, he pops over on the two. He can hear this one, but you can't really make it in there, so he goes up there until he gets at least across the state line.
On the road, that makes good sense in case you need some help or breakdown or whatever.
Run over there and just at least say hey and catch him in a minute. TFW, I'm back now.
4NAP. Did you make contact with him?
This radio's got monitors two VFOs at the same time, so I got it set on that one, so I can see him when he comes on. And like the 610 is a minus six for the offset, but the 285 is a plus six for the offset.
Yeah, I'll have to make a note of that so I'll know what to do. But I gotta remember how to put it in by hand. I can't remember if I still got the program in my computer saved or not to put a frequency in on this radio.
When I just typed the main number in, 147-285, and it did the offset for me.
I just got a little 2900 Yaesu. It's strictly 2 meter. If I need to add something, I have to go in and either do it by computer or do it on the front of the radio.
Sometimes on the front of the radio is a challenging feat.
Honestly, it's been so long since I put anything in this one. I don't remember, because I've had this radio, oh Lord, almost 10 years.
I know what you're saying. I programmed this one when I first got it, and that was the last time I messed with it.
Something to do today keep me from being too bored, but I'll try and get it put in there, and I'll see if I can hit the repeater. I looked the frequency up just out of curiosity, and there's a repeater in Knoxville, and there's a repeater in Virginia with the same frequency and same offset.
I forget where they call this one at. I don't remember if they call it White Oak Mountain or something like that.
Surprised at the propagation from time to time. We don't tie into those other repeaters in other states with the same frequency.
Happening on the 610 once in a while.
Right, I heard it happen one time, and best of my knowledge, I hadn't heard it happen again. The plan for today, KM4NAP Friday.
Plus, I think it'll just be an easy day here at work. I know I got a 9 o'clock meeting, but other than that, I don't think I got anything special going on. Next week, I got a corporate guy coming in a couple of days.
Hated those staff meetings that we had on every Monday morning. Really didn't accomplish nothing, and it was very boring.
I got a 7:30 meeting every morning.
Catch up what happened the night before.
What's going on during the day and what permits everybody needs and where we are on parts.
Imagine, they probably keep you hopping.
It's worse than others on that, but it seems like we're getting in that routine again where things are taking a little bit longer to get.
Price. A lot of places, they just don't have the manpower to do their job. They can't get people to work anymore.
Hard to find people to work, like you said, but then out here it's even worse than that, because you gotta be able to pass a serious background check.
Well, I know a lot of companies out there, they're sort of supplying, or were, I don't know what they're doing now, but supplying false information for illegal immigrants so they can hire them and work them.
Didn't get any of those out here.
That bet.
Yeah. Good morning, KN4TFW.
Happy hump day.
That's in my bad spot, and all I could hear is static.
I'm good.
Said it's hump day, finally.
Said it a halfway decent time last night, but still ain't.
10:30? About 2.5 hours.
This time, you know, usually it's 11, pushing midnight. Last night, tried to go for 10, and, you know, ended up by 10:30, so that's at least a little better.
Discipline.
I squeezed the time out of the day.
Reboot.
4CM.
Morning, Eric. KN4TFW.
KN4NAP.
Happy hump day and happy Friday for me.
Combination, hump day and Friday.
ZLE, good morning everybody. Happy hump day and my Friday. I get to share that combination as well.
Your CF, I'm a little bit jealous now.
I'm thinking the same thing. Good morning, Anthony.
Anthony, KM4NAP.
Yeah, the boys' birthdays tomorrow and Friday, and they're actually off from school, too. Just lucky coincidence there. So I got to stay home anyway since they're out of school. I figure I'll just take PTO a couple days, and we'll do some fun stuff for their birthdays.
For that.
That's what I was thinking.
I had a learner's permit yesterday, so I'll probably take him driving.
Into the workforce so he can afford insurance.
Already is to get straight A's in school.
It's a special feat.
They took not the ACT, but the one that comes before it, like the PACT, and he scored like 95th percentile in all the categories on it. So yeah, he's doing real well. I'm hoping he'll get a good scholarship when it comes time to go to college, because his mom and I definitely aren't going to shell out, you know, a bunch of money for him to go to an expensive school somewhere.
Of today. I mean, you go to Clemson or Carolina.
If he's going to get a job at the plant where his dad works and go to Cleveland County Community College for the first year at least, maybe two, and then get all those electives out of the way before transferring to a four-year school. That'll give him some work experience and, you know, get him the basic stuff done on the super cheap at the community college.
Are most community colleges still doing free tuition?
Closure northbound again.
What's up, go ahead, look.
My county is free. I know a lot of the South Carolina community colleges are free, but in North Carolina, I'm not sure. But either way, Cleveland County Community College is not expensive, even if you have to pay for it.
A lot of community colleges. They definitely save some money that way.
20 hours a week at his dad's plant. I think their starting pay is like $17 or $18 an hour or something. He could probably even just pay for it himself.
QT gassing up the fast boat. There's a guy at QT gassing up a bass boat.
PTO today.
Had a good hump day.
Bumping 80 today.
It's sunburned. I closed south of Gossett. I just passed Gossett, and it's no traffic northbound.
It looks like it ends right there at the number 9, or it starts for me, and then it also on the business 85 looks like it stopped right there where it gets on the 85. But I think I'm going to shoot up business 85 today.
I'm down at 77 now, and I still haven't found the, wait, here it is. Yeah, just south of 77 is where they've got it stopped. So you'll be backed up, from 77 on down to wherever. I think that's the 85 business on ramp that they've got stopped. Yeah, it's a parking lot. Yeah, I'll let you know when I get to the point of closure here, but it's definitely dark northbound. That's kind of weird to see. Headlights, so they must have gotten it open again. Again at 75.
And I see there's still a lot of red on my screen.
Yes, the troopers just must have rolled off a minute ago, because it's still definitely slow now as they get going again.
At this point, trying to avoid the slowdowns on 85.
4 years ago, when I got caught in it every single morning.
Oh. I just realized that if I don't get some fuel, I ain't gonna make it home.
Houses come back down, but man, they just steady staying up there around 289 in Spartanburg.
254 in,
They're headed down again. I mean, I think they're gonna keep going down. Oh my gosh, hang on. Everybody, but yeah, the economy's slowing down, so fuel prices are a good leading indicator of economic growth. So with fuel prices headed down, I think we might be headed into something here.
Week, I think. See, the last week or week before, they got down to about 230 something, and then it just shot right back up.
In response to tariffs, because the tariffs are going to hit Canadian oil imports, so. Going to drive prices up a little bit, but I think overall the prices are going to head down for a while.
Buy diesel fuel anymore?
Not the stuff at the employee store today, because the tariffs are going to hit us pretty good too.
4 MKH listening.
4 JKT.
4 CEF.
Good morning, KN4 TFW.
KN4 NAP.
For KQ4 ZLE. Gas prices, I have run ethanol free gas in everything I have, including my vehicles, for about a year now. And I get it at the Ingles here on Highway 24 near Townville, and it's been the same price of $3.23 a gallon for at least 6 months now. But I have noticed a huge difference in all of my vehicles since I started running. I use much less of it, so it's kind of paying for itself. But yeah, that price on that hasn't changed any in the last 6 months.
And why there's less fluctuation in
it? Myself, but little Chevy Cruze that I drive back and forth to work on just regular gas, I get about 26 miles to the gallon. When I started running the ethanol free, which is a 90 octane on this one, I'm getting like 34. It made that big of a difference. And it's got more power, runs smoother. My truck even runs a whole lot better with it as well.
Good bump.
A variable valve timing system has some to do with it. But yeah, it does. It makes a huge difference. And if I have to put regular gas in it, I can tell it really quick. I mean, because the car gets sluggish. And, like I said, it's made a huge difference. If I'm paying, I'm paying a little bit more in the long run, but to me, the offset and a little bit more, it's worth it with the way the vehicles run better.
We pull in the parking lot. I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3. Y'all have a good one. Be safe out there, and hopefully we'll holler at you later today or tomorrow morning. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your mind.
You have a good one. KN4TFW.
73, Andrew. Have a great day and be safe. This is WTJKT. it. On your ethanol-free stuff, my wife's car, we just put, you know, it actually has got a sticker on there that says do not put ethanol-free gas in it. It's designed to run off the ethanol. She gets like, it's a Honda Accord. She gets 44 miles to the gallon usually. When I go fill it up on Sundays, you know, the little trip thing says what the mileage is. And she's getting like 42 to 44 just with you know, the pump. Interesting that they had a sticker on there saying, you know, not to put ethanol free, and I guess they've got it tuned to run on the ethanol better.
T4ZLE. Yeah, that is kind of interesting because the ethanol, it's not a good fuel for engines. I mean, you see it in race like methanol stuff. That's mainly because of the octane rating of it. But yeah, it makes a huge difference in my car, you know, versus running the regular gas. Plus, I keep it in my boats and all the small stuff too. But I feel like I've had less wear and tear on the engines and stuff. And even seemed like when I changed the oil and stuff, and it seemed like the oil is even cleaner. And it's, to me, it just made a whole lot of difference in all of my stuff.
Actually, a fantastic fuel if the engine is designed to run it, because it does have a very high resistance to knock. And that's really kind of what they did when they, it was a little sleight of hand when they started to put ethanol in fuel. Because it used to be the refineries would churn out, you know, 87 and 93, and then the pump would just mix it to get the pump rating. And what they did was they dropped the raw fuel octane rating from 87 and 93 to 85 and 91. And then when you add back the ethanol, it increases the resistance to knock. So you basically had a higher effective octane rating when you add the ethanol to it. So they made the gasoline component cheaper, and then just added the ethanol back to get the octane rating back. That's why you go out west in a high altitude and all the pump gas is 85 now.
Blended in how the octane works and stuff in the engines and stuff. Out west it's like a lot flatter out in the plains and stuff like that, so the engines don't have as much pressure, and they can kind of get away with the lower octane fuels, but it can still do long-term damage on the lower, you know, if the engine, the computer stuff's not able to tune as well to make up for it in the timing. That's one reason the BBT systems help a lot on that, because it helps with your compression with the camshafts and exhaust scavenging and all that good stuff.
Aaron, it's QT here in Circle. I'm picking me up some fuel before I forget and run out tonight.
This car is a turbo, and that probably has something to do with it too, because you know, the little Honda, the 1.5 liter turbo they're putting in everything now is a pretty nice little motor.
Induction, that definitely does change things. That's like on that funny car, you know, that blower system and everything on it. But of course, we're running nitromethane and methanol, so a whole different animal.
Mess with methanol.
Stuff. Definitely got to keep it off your skin and stuff.
I've not even been able to see it.
I've seen the results of that. No fun.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, KO4HGX.
Lead to JKT, happy hump day.
T4ZLE.
KM4NAP.
Good start to your hump day and enjoying the drive in. Really, I made the vehicle switch. When y'all started, I couldn't get into the repeater, and then I was just listening because it's such a short trip from the state line to get in the truck.
Such a Friday for me as well, but it's been a long 6 days to get into this Friday, though.
Friday Eve, as Ken likes to call it. Tomorrow's my Friday.
Tomorrow and Friday, so today's my Friday, too.
Permanent Saturday duty.
Got to run up to Greenville tomorrow for a couple hours, do a small class for work, but hopefully that'll be over with pretty quick. Take you for ZLE.
DFW, I'm back.
Ken, KO4HKX.
Now I'm set. I won't run out of fuel on the way home.
Fuel day for me also, so just stop and spend some more money.
Truck is on E2, so I need to go get some diesel at some point for it. But I have a whole pile of firewood at home now.
supposed to be in the 80s this week.
We were fire pit.
I mean, the wind was going to be what, up in the 50 mile an hour up towards North Carolina the next couple of days?
Yeah, it usually calms down at night.
Fire time, I'm usually already in bed.
When do you go to bed now?
Back around 8:30, so yeah, it's starting to get to the point where it's a little bit light outside still.
That couple of minute fuel stop made all the red go away on my screen.
We gotta merge.
Not happening in our lifetime.
Merge and learn how to use a yield sign.
And right, except the pass.
Circles that they're putting in around abouts, whatever you want to call them, have really messed people up.
New ones up in Shelby, and they're wrecks like every single day at them.
Well, around the Anderson County area now, and people just really threw them for a loop.
Got that one here in Spartanburg, that Heron Circle. Man, I think it's got like about five or six exits off of it.
Stiffen the penalties for left lane camping, so I'm hoping it'll have at least a somewhat of an effect on it.
Arizona's now officially got a law, but I don't know that they're really enforcing it. So we'll see.
They have the law, but most states just don't enforce it. But it's getting so bad now, I wish they would just start going after it. Like, forget speeding, just pull people over for left lane camping. It's a lot easier.
I agree with that. Especially, you know, if you don't get out of the way of emergency vehicles. I mean, I've had people just refuse to get out of the way. And I'm sitting here looking at them. And then we're supposed to pass on the left, to go around on the left, and they'll want to ditch into the doggone median, then we're still supposed to go around them on the left. But anyway, you know how it is.
Seen Fridays with Frank on YouTube, but he's a Pinal County Sheriff's deputy down in Arizona, and he did a video where that's all he did all day was pull people over for left lane camping. It was great.
See that here. Well, gentlemen, I'm pulling into the hospital. Again, it's been a joy talking to you guys this morning. I hope everybody has a good day and be safe. I'll be KQ4ZLE. Everybody have a good day.
73 Anthony, KO4HKX. Have a great day.
73 Anthony, have a great day. Be safe. This is W2JKT.
KM4NAP.
Would you say the tariffs are going to affect y'all pretty good? When are they thinking that's going to start taking effect?
Additional tariffs on imports from China have already taken effect, so I would expect those prices to hit Home Depot shelves probably in the next few weeks.
It's same for us. We got our tool show coming up, and the pricing catalog says price is subject to change, and you can guess why.
I'll go to the store today and just pick up a bunch of stuff that I might need this year because I want to try to get it before the tariff pricing hits. I pay out this Friday, so I'll have a little bit of scratch to do it.
And that way you can use it instead of having to put it on credit or anything like that.
One of our zero-turn mowers, because my riding mower bit the dust yesterday. I can't get it to start now. So the thing is, it's been on its last legs for a while, so it's time for something new. But I need to see if I can arrange that through our employee store, because they don't usually list it. I got to talk to the guy that runs it and see if he can get me one on the side.
Big-ticket item there, I'm sure.
No gas motor and all the problems that come with it.
Just hit the gates. I'm going to say 73. Everybody have an awesome day out there and be safe. And I'll catch you guys in the morning. KN4TFW.
Again, have a great day. KO4HKX.
Great day and be safe. This is W2JKT. Catch you later.
Again, KN4NAP.
Look, I'm definitely a believer in electric things now. You know, I've had this car for 75,000 miles. And all I've done is put tires and wiper blades on it and change the cabin filter once in a while. And, no oil, no nothing. Great.
Definitely have their place, that's for sure. Not knocking that at all. It's just, I can't get behind the mandate for everybody at a certain time. I don't think it's quite there yet for some aspects of our daily routines.
100% there. I mean, they're not good for all applications, and I don't agree with the mandate either, but I'm not aware that there's ever been a mandate.
Wanting to go all electric by 2030 on cars, or something close to that. I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but not on everything, but they were pushing the automotive industry that way.
Choice, that's for sure, but I don't think we're going to see a mandate for EVs anytime soon now anyway, at least not for the next four or so years.
And I think as technology keeps improving on batteries, I mean, look how fast it's changing. I think things will get better, and I do think it is a viable alternative, not 100%. And what in life is really ever 100% at anything? That's what I was getting at.
I mean, nothing's going to be perfect, right? So we can't let ourselves succumb to the Nirvana fallacy and think that there is some magic bullet. But, for cities, I think it's great for air quality, and for commuters, it's great. You know, I mean, not going to be great for everybody. It's not going to be great for everything. But, I think they definitely have their place, like you say. I've had fantastic results from it, so I have no complaints whatsoever.
I agree. I think we could do much better with the technology we have on the engine side, but we're not because of the cash cow that it is. I think there's some vast improvements on that side of technology, like trucks, like I'm in. I don't think you could go all electric, but you could run it more like a locomotive where you're using a smaller displacement diesel engine to run the batteries and then run the electric motors, and you get a much more efficient design out of it.
New locomotives are hybrid, technically speaking. They carry batteries and they have regenerative braking. And locomotives have always used electric traction motors and just use the diesel engines as a generator. But now a lot of them have batteries too, act as basically a hybrid. And they've gotten way more efficient. And then diesel trucks could do the same thing. And I think you're right. I think that is going to be the ultimate answer. They'll carry 100 kilowatts worth of 100 kilowatt hours worth of batteries. To act as a hybrid, because where the gasoline and diesel motors use most of their fuel is when you're accelerating, it's under high power. So once you're cruising, it gets a lot better. So hopefully they work out something like that. And I think you're right. The locomotive approach, where the diesel motors, it's a generator that comes on once in a while when it's needed. I think that's probably going to be the answer long term.
Probably a company out there that's working on that already. I've been following them, but they've been getting. Having problems with the regulatory side of things is where they've been having most of their issues. It's called Edison Motors. You'll have to look them up. It's a Canadian company, but it's. I love the way they're going with their technology.
About using a diesel motor just as a generator is that you can run it at high enough output all the time that it doesn't generate any soot or anything like that, and the emissions are a lot cleaner when a diesel's working hard than it is when it's not working hard.
Yes, exactly. When you run an engine at a set RPM, you can tune it to the max. You don't have to have that curve in there, and that's where you get most of your emittance. So that's that's one of the aspects of what I really like about it. So I think that's the way to go, in my personal opinion, with what technology we have at this time.
At that point, you don't even need any of the emissions equipment. You just run it, and the exhaust is already as clean as it's going to get.
Like I said, I think we could do much better than we're doing, but it all boils down to the dollars at the end of the day.
They just want to sell a lot of products, so they're going to push back on that stuff as hard as they can.
I don't know, 25 years or so ago, I stumbled across a project where a guy had taken a 1970-something Plymouth Fury with a 360 in it, which were absolute gas hogs, I mean gas hogs, and built a fuel atomizer and put on it and got it up over 100 miles to the gallon on that same car. But that technology went away because of money.
Quite a lot too, you know, they'll fight something like that. And you remember the 80s when we had the national 55 mile an hour speed limit? You know, the oil companies spent billions of dollars lobbying to get that repealed and finally won, you know, because they wanted people driving faster, so they needed more gas.
Trying to drive from anywhere to anywhere at 55 mile an hour, it seemed like it took forever. But, I mean, I can attest to that. You can get better fuel economy out of most vehicles if you keep them under about 65. That's where most of them's fuel curve is actually tuned to run the best. I definitely see that.
EVs, you know, it's just the cube law of power that comes into play. So, you know, every time you double your speed, you're using eight times as much energy to do it. So, you know, I can see that correlation on the watt meter here pretty easily. So if I'm driving 65 versus 75, it's an enormous difference.
If you know how to drive a vehicle to get the fuel mileage out of it, it's amazing what you can do with the technology that's already out there. Because you can beat the fuel economy, suggested fuel economy on most vehicles fairly easily.
I mentioned it, but my wife's Honda Accord, you know, she gets like 44 miles to the gallon on that thing, and that's the way she drives. I'm sure she could get even more laying off the accelerator, but yeah, I mean, it's amazing what they can do if they're just tuned right and you don't drive them 100 miles an hour. You know, she takes 45 and 55 mile an hour roads to get to work, and so, you know, at those lower speeds, you know, it's just using a lot less fuel, so she's able to get, you know, in the mid 40s.
Exactly. But getting everybody to slow down, I mean, look, they won't slow down if there's a wreck on the road now on a normal day, so good luck with that one.
Somebody that took one of these Chevy Bolts and they drove it at like 25 miles an hour and they were able to get like 600 or 700 miles out of the battery.
That's a long ways. Well, I mean, that's the same thing when everybody asked me about my excursion. I know how to drive it to get the best fuel economy out of it, and I have achieved 25 miles a gallon out of a 10,000 pound vehicle. But it takes persistence to do that.
Yeah, I've done the same thing in my truck. You know, I can get 24. I eked out like 24 and a half one time, and I set the cruise control at 60. And, you know, drove it. You know, I was driving to D.C., so, you know, once I got into Southern Virginia, I filled up, and I just set the cruise control at 60 for that whole rural part, and I was getting 24 and a half out of it.
It can be done. It's just, for every action, there's an opposite reaction, so it's what you get put into it.
I'm getting down here, we're losing the repeater here, so I'll go ahead and say 73 to you, Patrick. I hope you have a great day, and we'll catch you next week probably sometime. This is W2JKT. I'll be clear on your final.
Yeah, enjoyed it this morning. Enjoy your time off and then birthday with the boys there and family. So take care out there. KO4HKX. I'll be clear for now. Ed, if you're still listening, you have a great day, and maybe I'll talk to you later today. KO4HKX. Clear.
Patrick, KM4NAP.
9W4FCM.